coming up on KUCB News, the U.S. Army is conducting helicopter training in the Aleutian Islands. And Alaska leads the country in the number of COVID-19 tests per resident. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. For the first time in 2 years, the U.S. Army is conducting helicopter training exercises in the Aleutian Islands. The mission is designed to test pilots' capabilities navigating over water and landing in mountainous areas. KUCB's Hope McKenney reports that 10 soldiers and 2 Chinook helicopters from the Fort Wainwright Army Base in Fairbanks will be flying in the region as they transit to Erickson Air Station on Shemya Island near the westernmost tip of the Aleutian Island chain.
My name is Lieutenant Colonel Jorge, last name Rosario, the commander of 1st Battalion, 52nd Aviation Regiment, GSAP, or General Support Aviation Battalion, at Fort Wainwright, Alaska.
Lieutenant Colonel Rosario commands a 700-man battalion comprised of 35 helicopters, and he's responsible for guiding the training and readiness of the aviation battalion that is carrying out the mission near the tip of the Aleutian Island chain. The nearly 84-foot Chinook helicopters that these crews will be navigating are 2 pilot aircraft with a flight engineer and crew chief in the aft and are the largest helicopters in the U.S. Army. For training purposes, Rosario says they will have a 3rd pilot in each aircraft, making a total of 5 soldiers in each 50,000-pound CH-47 Chinook participating in the current mission. He says the expedition provides a great training opportunity for the pilots and crews in the Chinook company that returned from deployment last November and haven't had the opportunity to execute similar drills in a long time.
It's been a long time since we've actually gotten an opportunity to do some overwater training. And that's something that, you know, one is always challenging being the interior of Alaska to get done. But another one, since the unit had been gone to Afghanistan, they really hadn't had a chance to test and train on this task.
Rosario says the Aleutians are a perfect setting for the Army pilots to practice long-distance flights over water in challenging topography and weather, with the ability to still access Erickson Air Station in cases of emergency.
We found that, you know, heading down there to the Aleutians, it was just a perfect training scenario to get us, you know, flying sort of long distances, long range over water. And navigation, which is really, you know, part of this, right? Time on target and being able to navigate with not a lot of visual cues. I don't know that there's anything that is comparable, but it's definitely a place that is unique and provides us a mix of training challenges that we can take advantage of.
Rosario says they intend to train for about 7 days in the Aleutian Islands, but he expects to be here longer than a week. While the island chain provides an ideal terrain for this type of military training, it also brings with it several safety challenges. Due to quickly changing and challenging weather conditions that may be too dangerous even for these training missions, and to ensure the safety of his soldiers, Rosario expects they will have to ground some of the training. The Army has optimal conditions for what is called VFR, or visual flight rules, he says. They look for a cloud ceiling of at least 1,000 feet above ground level and 3 miles of visibility in order to fly, which in the Aleutians can be a challenge.
We look at weather as truly being the riskiest part of the training and navigation. Is staying on top or ahead often when we fly these missions.
As of Tuesday afternoon, the aviation battalion was at Erickson Air Station on Shemya Island. Due to shifting conditions, Rosario predicts they will be in the Aleutians until mid-August. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
Alaska is now first in the country in the number of coronavirus tests per resident. Governor Mike Dunleavy cited the statistic in his weekly news briefing yesterday.
We're working really hard at making sure that we have tests available. We're testing folks to let them know if they in fact have been infected so they can get the medical care that they need.
Alaska has the second lowest death rate of residents with the virus after Hawaii. But the share of Alaskans who test positive has been increasing, and state and local health officials have said the number of new cases has been growing faster than the ability of public health workers to investigate everyone who COVID-19 patients have had close contact with. The news briefing also included new information on changes to testing related to travel that will go into effect on August 11th. Out-of-state travelers will be required to either have a negative test taken within 72 hours of departing for Alaska, or proof that they have results of a test taken within 72 hours that are pending. Until out-of-state travelers have a negative result, they will be required to self-quarantine. Also, non-resident travelers who haven't taken a test will still be able to take one on arrival in Alaska, but they will have to pay a fee and will be required to quarantine until they have a result. Children 10 years and younger won't be required to have tests. Commissioner of the State Health Department, Adam Crum, also said tests would be available at airports for Alaskans who are flying to rural communities. The city of Unalaska requires all travelers coming into the city, residents or not, to self-quarantine for 14 days upon arrival. That quarantine period is required whether or not travelers receive a negative COVID-19 test. Critical workforce employees are an exception to this, only if their employer has filed the required protocol with the city. All workers who fall under this exception are still required to self-quarantine during non-work hours within the 14-day period. Alaska's tally of confirmed COVID-19 cases rose by 56 yesterday, bringing the statewide total to 3,449. There have been 137 hospitalizations since the pandemic hit Alaska in March and 25 deaths. The Ballyhoo Mountain Run wrapped up last Friday, and while no records were broken this year, according to PCR sports coordinator Chris DeGero, the event brought a good turnout of participants.
It was a solid turnout in terms of people who registered. I mean, we had the same amount of people who registered this year as we had last year. So, I mean, that's fantastic.
Like many events happening since March when the coronavirus pandemic hit Alaska, the Ballyhoo Mountain Run was held virtually for the first time ever. Participants had to record their run on a tracking app on their phones, and the race was held over a two-week period rather than in a single day as it had been in years past. DeGero says it's been a challenge advertising and getting participation numbers up for these virtual runs, but he's pleased with the amount of people who ran or hiked the Ballyhoo race. All but four of the 24 participants turned in their results, he says. While there are many challenges in holding a virtual race, DeGero says he's grateful to have the chance to give runners and hikers the opportunity to soak up all the sunny days over a longer time period, rather than hoping for fair weather on a single day.
We had a lot of good weather days for it, which is great. You know, part of that is that I don't have to, if we have like an in-person race one day, I don't have to like reschedule that to another day with only hours to spare between calling it off and then the alleged or proposed race time, rather. So that was a big headache that I didn't have to deal with this year, which is great.
The fastest race time overall was in the youth boys category at 29 minutes and 30 seconds, followed by the youth girls at 30 minutes, 42 seconds. Next was the teen boys category with a top time of 40 minutes and 30 seconds. The adult male category fastest time was 53 minutes and 16 seconds. Fastest adult female runner was close behind, clocked at 54 minutes and 24 seconds. Next was the teen girls category winner at 54 minutes and 25 seconds. And finally, in the category of men masters, the fastest runner was clocked at 2 hours and 45 minutes. The record time of 24 minutes still stands. It was set by Ben Bullock in 2010. Medals are available now for pickup at the Community Center front desk. All medal winners still needing to pick up their awards have been sent an email to the email address they submitted their results from. The PCR's next race will be the Bobby Johnson Summer Bay Classic. DeGero says a specific date has not yet been chosen, but to be on the lookout for information on the run, which is coming soon. The Board of Education for the Unalaska City School District meets tonight via telephone conference call. At their meeting, members will continue discussing the reopening of Unalaska schools under the State of Alaska's Smart Start 2020 program, as well as personnel emergency leave, pandemic emergency policies, and the COVID-19 Advisory Committee. The school board meets tonight at 7 o'clock over teleconference. You can find the access number on the school district's website at ucsd.net or listen live here on 89.7 FM. KUCB will hold an interview program with Unalaska City School District Superintendent John Conwell, High School Principal Jim Wilson, and Eaglesview Elementary Principal Chad Eichenlob this Friday. We'll talk with them about the district's plan to open later this month and the measures that will be in place to protect local students, staff, and teachers. If you have questions for the school district administration, please send them our way for possible inclusion on the show. Questions should be submitted via email to news@kucb.org by end of day today. Again, that's news@kucb.org. Then tune in to hear the program on Friday at noon, rebroadcasting at 5 p.m. And this weekend, KUCB will hold its 2020 Aleutian Tundra Golf Classic in Pyramid Valley. For details or to sponsor, email KUCB General Manager Lauren Adams at lauren@kucb.org. Again, that's lauren@kucb.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.